Happy Resurrection Sunday. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning. My name is Pastor Rich. I'm the pastor of Crossroads, and this is our second service. We started off this morning with a beautiful Easter sunrise service. We had a couple hundred people come out for that, praise the Lord. But I want to start by doing this. I want you to participate with me. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and close your eyes. So close your eyes, and I want you to do this with your eyes closed. I want you to visualize, picture in your head, the most beautiful sunrise that you have ever seen. Get that picture in your head. And some of you are thinking, nothing is coming to me because I don't wake up early enough to see the sunrise. And that's okay. All right, you can open up your eyes. You know, for myself, growing up in Daytona Beach and us living in Daytona Beach, we are so blessed to be able to have such accessibility to the beach to see the perfect sunrise. Spectacular sunrises. Have you seen some spectacular sunrises? I think all of us have. But today, what I want to do is this. I want to talk to you about the most special, the most spectacular sunrise ever. And as you notice on the screen, it's not spelled S-U-N, but it's spelled S-O-N, S-O-N. And the message of today is, in fact, as we have on the screen, he is risen indeed. Jesus is alive. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles, and you can do that now if you like, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Also, the handout that you received when you came in, we have a lot of the Bible verses and statements on there. So if you don't have a Bible with you, you can follow along there as well. But as you're doing that, I want to tell you briefly about a man, probably a familiar name. His name is Harry Houdini. How many of you, by a show of hands, have heard of the name Harry Houdini? Okay, if you haven't heard of him, look him up. Harry Houdini. Essentially, his claim to fame, here's a picture of him on the screen, by the way. His claim to fame was spectacular escapes. He specialized in that. And what I mean was this, Harry Houdini was such an escape artist that he broke through locks, he broke through handcuffs, he broke through chains, he broke through ropes. It didn't matter what it was no problem for Harry Houdini. You name it, he broke out of it. And some say Houdini was the most flexible person that they ever saw. He could squirm his way out of anything. His life was in jeopardy so many times. Many people said he should have lost his life numerous times in all the different escapes that he tried to attempt. They said he had more lives than a cat. And they say a cat has how many lives? Nine lives. So this guy probably had like 1,009 lives. But anyway, the thing about Houdini was this. They did all kinds of things to try to confine him. For instance, they would place him in a coffin and they would seal the coffin up. But Harry Houdini would escape. They would put him in a canvas bag and they would seal up that bag. But he would escape. You know, they actually sealed him in a barrel, sealed it shut. And he would escape. Then they said, "Well, let's do this. Let's put him in a maximum security prison, one in which no one has ever escaped." So they put Harry Houdini in that prison, and guess what? He escaped. He escaped through all those things. Somehow he got out. But one day, the month was October. The year was 1926. Death laid its hands on Harry Houdini and put him in a grave. Right before he died, he told his wife these words. He said, "If there is a way to escape death, I will find it. I'm the escape artist." He was so confident, he was so sure that he could escape death, he told his wife, "On the 1-year anniversary of my death, I'm going to come and visit you and show you that I defeated death. So when that one-year anniversary came, he didn't show up. 2 years, 3 years. And then the story says that after 10 years, finally his wife gave up hope. And she came to understand that death had Harry Houdini. And he could not escape that. I want to compare Harry Houdini to another name that maybe you're familiar with. Maybe you've heard of the name Jesus Christ. In comparison, Jesus Christ, death also laid his hands on him. Jesus died. He was placed in this rock-solid tomb. There was a stone that was placed on the mouth of that tomb. But on the third day, Jesus proved that he could escape death. Jesus rose from the grave. He left those grave clothes like a butterfly would forsake a cocoon. And by the way, just so you know, that stone that was rolled away was not rolled away to let Jesus out. It was to let other people in so that way they could see for themselves that he is risen indeed. Nothing could confine our all-powerful God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the Bible, the Apostle Paul starts off with this question, if you can look at it with me in verse number 12. He says, "Now if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Paul teaches this. He says that I and others, thousands of preachers around our country today, we can preach the most awesome truth that Christ is risen from the dead, but Paul says that some people will do the most unthinkable thing. They will doubt. But the truth of God's word is right before our eyes. The heart of the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the heart of the gospel. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is also in your notes, in the middle of verse number 3, it says, "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures." Hey, there is no preacher, not myself or any other preacher in this city, county, state, country, world, that can preach the gospel, the good news, and exclude the resurrection. It's part of the gospel. It's the climax. It's the turning points. It's the future hope that we have and we hold on to as believers in Jesus. You see, there's a big difference between Jesus and founders of religions of the world. They lived, they died, and they're still dead. But Jesus lived, Jesus died, but Jesus rose again. And there's no need to follow a dead-end religion when you've been offered the abundant life here on earth through Christ. And also eternal life by the living Savior. Amen? He was the one, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, who lived, died, but now is alive forevermore. Yeah. Amen. Praise Jesus for that. You see, Harry Houdini, as we said, was known for things like breaking out of chains. But Jesus is the real chain breaker. He can set you free, as we've talked about, as we sung earlier. He can set you free from anything if you were in bondage to something today. You just turn it over to him. He will help you today with anything because he's conquered death. And because he's done that, he can do anything above what we ask or can imagine. You see, you might say, "I understand that Jesus conquered death, but what about me? What about us? How do I know that when I die, my end is in the grave? Can I conquer death? Can I beat death?" The answer is yes. Romans 8:37 says this. It says, "We are more than conquerors through him," through Jesus who loved us. You see, Paul followed up on that very verse on the screen in Romans chapter 8 by also saying this. He said that I am not persuaded, and he lists 17 different things, and the very last thing is death. He says, I'm persuaded that not even death can separate me from the love of God, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the power to defeat death, to rise again from the dead, is beyond all human ability. It can only be done through the power of God. On the screen, it says from Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says that he was declared to be the Son of God with power. How? By the resurrection from the dead. Would you agree that takes some supernatural power to be risen from the dead? Amen? I don't know. I can't do that. I don't know anybody else can do that. But Jesus did that. But that was a sign, the Bible says, of his power. Again, that power to defeat death and rise from the dead is beyond all human ability. We could never do that on our own. So if it was not for Jesus Christ, our lives would be, we would be born, we would die, and that would be it. Houdini couldn't do it. You and I can't do it. It takes supernatural ability. It takes supernatural power. Power that's possessed by the only begotten Son of God. Power that is possessed by him. But you might say, well, how does that apply to me? How do I know that I can be saved from eternal death? How do I know that he can save me? Well, first of all, like we said, the Bible tells us so. There's a great verse that's not in your notes. It's not on the screen, but I'll give it to you anyway. If you want to jot it down, it's 2 Corinthians 4:14. Excellent verse in the Bible. And it says this, and I love this. This verse says we don't have to hope. We don't have to pray for it. The Bible says we can know. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. The verse says knowing that God raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also. Amen? So if we know the truth of the fact that God raised up Jesus Christ and we believe that truth, the Bible says we can know that he will raise us up also. It's also because God is the righteous judge. And the Bible says that one day each and every person will stand before God. And the book of life that's described in the book of Revelation that we preached about, heard about a couple weeks ago, will be opened. And whosoever's name is not written in the book of life, the Bible says, will be cast into the lake of fire. You want to make sure your name is written in the book of life. Because the Bible says this, God is the righteous judge. God always does what's right. And God has imposed death, separation from him, as the penalty for sin, for disobeying God. But think about this for a second. The God who created death as the penalty for sin is also the one that has the power to defeat death. Amen? So the one that imposes death naturally is the one that can defeat death, right? And that's exactly what he did. He made a way for us to escape death through belief in his son Jesus. He allowed Jesus to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus had a conversation with two ladies by the name of Mary and Martha, sisters. And it's recorded in John chapter 11. It was right after he raised their brother Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus said these words to those two sisters. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And that verse is so impactful to me personally. My dad passed away 5 years ago, right about this time. And we wanted to make sure that he was a believer. Wanted to check one last time while he was on his bed before he passed away. And my dad quoted this verse in his own way. My dad said, Jesus said, he could barely talk. My dad said, Jesus said, whoever believes in me will never die. You see, Jesus followed up with a question to those two ladies that day. And it's recorded here. He said, do you believe this? Do you believe that I'm the resurrection and the life, and all you have to do is simply believe in what I did for you? And that's the question that he has for you and I today is, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of God with power, who defeated death, can provide eternal life for you? In 1 Corinthians 15, once again, Paul tells us something that's so important. He says, hey, we don't have to, even though we should simply believe this by faith. Paul says you don't have to because people saw it. You see, in chapter number 15, once again, Paul says there were witnesses to the truth of Jesus' resurrection. There were those who saw Jesus after his resurrection, which is so important. If you look with me at chapter 15 and verse number 5, the Bible says this. It says, he was seen by Cephas and then the 12. Then he was seen by over 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present time, though some have passed away. Then he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And then verse 8, Paul says, last of all, he was seen by me. You know, that's so impactful. And the reason why, again, is this, is that we don't have to take, you know, the Bible simply by faith, although we should. But we have tangible proof from eyewitnesses, including Paul, that saw it. Paul is saying, hey, all the people that I've just mentioned, including myself, we could testify. Hey, you put us in front of a judge, you put us in front of a jury, you put us in court, we'll put our hand on the word of God and we will testify to the truth that Christ is alive. We saw him after his resurrection. We talked with him. We ate with him. Some good broiled fish by the lake. He was there. He ate with us. It's recorded in the Bible. You know, we fellowshiped with him. We touched him. We knew it wasn't a ghost. It was really him. We did all these things after his resurrection as a demonstration that he was alive. Well, you say, Pastor Rich, how do you know that they didn't just make up a good story? How do you know that they just didn't make it up? Well, the thing about it is this, verse 10, if you look at it with me here, in verse number 10, Paul writes, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said that after he saw the resurrected Jesus Christ, there was a change in his life. His BC, his before Christ, he was the enemy of Christ. He was the persecutor of Christians. He would hunt them down. He would beat them. He would have them jailed. But then he says, after I saw Jesus, that, hey, I saw that guy on the cross. I know he was dead. But then when I saw him alive, I went from being the enemy of Christ to being an evangelist for Christ. Because I saw it and I believed it. Some people, that's what it takes. They need to see to believe. Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, also known as Doubting Thomas, said, hey, the other apostles, like, we saw him. He's alive. He defeated death. And Thomas says, uh-uh. Unless I see it. And Jesus revealed himself to Thomas. And the Bible says he saw and he believed. Paul saw and he believed. He became changed because of his belief in Jesus. And the Bible says, Paul says that he labored more abundantly than all of them. He worked hard. The Bible says that he traveled 3 different missionary journeys, leading people to faith in Christ, establishing churches, helping to grow and train leaders in those churches. And it wasn't a cakewalk either. The Bible says because Paul did all these things, he endured a lot of persecution, beatings, jailings. Why would Paul endure all these things? Why would Paul labor more abundantly than them all? It was because Christ is alive. He lives. I love that song that we sang last Sunday, He Lives. Because He lives, you can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, life is worth the living. Just because He lives. He lives, and that's why we can sing the songs we do today. We can sing the songs at the start of the service that He is worthy. We can sing, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. We can sing because of Christ. We can sing those songs. Just like Paul. I'm sure he was singing when he was in jail in Philippi, again, for witnessing to others about the good news of Jesus Christ. He was jailed. Him and his buddy, missionary partner, were jailed, and the Bible says they started singing praises unto God. And you and I can do the same thing today, too. You see, the Bible says about Paul that Paul saw him and he believed. And Paul has given us the testimony of his word as well as the testimony of others. And the Bible, as well as just history in general, they tell us that most of the disciples paid for their lives, for their testimony, and for their faith in Jesus Christ. They suffered, they bled, and they died because they believed in the resurrection of Jesus. We have it easier today. We don't have to go through what they went through to establish Christianity. Today, the gospel is well known. The message is out there. We simply just have to accept it and believe it. You see, these disciples gave up their lives, most of them by death, so you and I could be able to embrace what they embraced, the love and the teaching of Jesus Christ. And hypocrites aren't made of the same stuff. A man may live a lie, but few will die for a lie. These people, these disciples of Christ, testified. They said, He is alive. They said, we know He's alive. And again, most of them sealed their testimony, many of them with their lives. The resurrection of Jesus Christ plays a vital role in your salvation. Because if you are not justified by the righteous judge before your day comes, before you stand before Him, you will stand before Him guilty. And the penalty that the judge will render unto you because of your sin is death by separation for all eternity. Because the Bible says that you're dead, spiritually dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. But thanks be to God that God has given us a chance to be saved from death. Romans 10:9 simply says this: if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you'll tell God these words, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, yes, you will be saved. It's that simple. And once you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, and made Him your Savior, your only hope of heaven, you are no longer dead in your sins because you have a risen Savior that has paid the price for your sins, and you've simply believed it. Death no longer has dominion over you. Amen. I'm so glad I have that kind of gospel to preach. I'm so glad that life doesn't just end in a veil of tears and we just say goodbye and then that's it. Notice verse number 20. In verse 20, chapter number 15 once again, it says, But now is Christ risen from the dead. And because of that, death is defeated. The future is fabulous. All fear is gone. And life is worth the living just because he lives. He's taken the gloom out of the grave. He's given us a future that's steadfast and sure. You see, in verse number 22, it compares Jesus to the first man, Adam. And Adam is the one that we've inherited sin from. And it says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I love the way he concludes this chapter in verse number 57, particularly. Paul writes, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Harry Houdini, great escape artist. But you can pull off the greatest escape ever. You can escape death. You can escape eternal separation from God forever. You can escape eternal separation from your loved ones who know Jesus. You can escape that forever. Maybe you have family members. Maybe you're here today and you're here with a family member and you know that they know Jesus, but maybe you don't know Jesus the way they know Jesus. Hey, don't let a moment slip away. Amen. Trust Christ today. None of us knows if we have tomorrow. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Acts 16:31. Today is the day that we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Jesus' resurrection and all that it means for the believer in Christ. Jesus is alive today, but the question is this: does he believe? Do you believe that he lives in you?
Much of what I did in this life involved an attempt to be significant somehow, to make a name for myself. Even if people were cursing it along the way, at least they were saying it. Maybe it was the look in my eye, maybe it was the way I dressed, I never knew for certain. But even as a child, people would whisper. Some would even say, "Here comes trouble." How could I argue with it? Every time I came to that fork in the path, I took the path of least resistance. I guess debauchery would be another name for it. It seemed harmless enough. At first, only in my mind. Then in ways I thought no one would notice. But then it became my way of life. It became who I was. I was debauchery. I was immoral, improper, impure. I was the one to blame. You know, condemnation never stirred me much. My ever-present companion, always there to make sure that I knew I was never enough. But shame. Shame I hadn't known. I'd always sufficiently hidden in the shadows, but now I was thrust into the light. But what hurt more than that was the sudden realization of who I truly was. The person no one knew. Or I thought no one knew. as Jesus told the thief on the cross next to him that he would be with him in paradise, it penetrated my soul. What choice did I have but to let it? I could see him slipping away. Hope was gone. Any chance of making up for what I had done was over. I was going to get what I deserved for who I truly was. But as he hung on that cross, dying for sins he didn't commit, asking his Father, God, to forgive me. Me! Who else had ever stood up for me like that? Who else had ever said, I am with you? He knew everything about me. And I hardly knew anything about him. But I believed in him. And that's all he needed. And he never let me go.
Amen. Amen. As the worship team comes in, I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes in an attitude of prayer. And one day, as we're thinking about the message today, the drama, the music, we know that one day, just like Harry Houdini, death is going to come knocking on your door. And you want to make sure that you are ready. You want to make sure that you're going to the right place after you die. With your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, I want you to know that God loves you. And his desire, his word says, is for everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Would you make his desire your desire today and come to faith in Jesus? Will you turn from your sins and turn to him for forgiveness? Will you receive God's free gift to you of his Son, his salvation, and everlasting life? I'm so grateful, as Emily quoted earlier today, Acts 4:12, where it says there's no other name under heaven but Jesus, whereby we must be saved. His free gift is available to everyone and anyone. All we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and we will be saved. So if you're here today, on this special day, I don't think it's by coincidence. If you're here today and you are not 100% sure that you would go to heaven when you die, we want you to not leave this building unless you are 100% sure. So if your heart's desire today, God has impressed upon your heart your need of his Son Jesus. If your heart's desire today is to believe, you want to set aside this day, Easter Sunday 2024, as the day that you believed and you got saved, and you choose to receive not just the eternal life in the future that he promises, but you choose to receive the abundant life that he can give you today. Would you pray this prayer? More important than the words that come out of your mouth is the belief in your heart. The Bible says God looks upon the heart. So if your desire is to believe on Jesus Christ and be saved, would you pray, dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I have come up short many times. I know it's beyond my ability to make things right with God. So I'm trusting in you and what you did for me on that cross for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for defeating death, because now I know what that means for me. and I received your gift of eternal life. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.